I am now in a corridor. On my left, there is a twisty staircase which reaches the roof. I want to go up in order to watch the sunset. And now I am in the big beautiful yard of Maranjab Caravansarai. At the center of the yard, there are benches and tables so that visitors can watch the beautiful starry sky of the desert at night. Around the yard, there are chambers for rent. These rooms are well furnished. Each room is separated from the yard's ground level by two stairs. I have rented the room on my right for a night. Oh, how beautiful it is! The ceiling is dome-like. There are niches on the walls which remind me of my grandma's old house. Very beautiful. I'm sure I would have a great night here in this caravansarai.
Until next time, goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, when we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the information provided or answers provided in this program are all based upon the Holy Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and, of course, of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today's topic is the rules of reward. We have previously spoken about the rules of punishment. Now we will speak about the rules or etiquette of rewarding our children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. In the same way that we feel the need to punish our children, or punishment in general to be a system implied to human beings, there has to be a system of reward as well, right? And the system of reward, it just goes hand in hand with the fitrah of the human being, as right. we call the innate of a human being.
The innate nature.
The right. nature of a human being. And this system of reward, it drives a person to do the right thing. I mean, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran constantly telling us the reward of things. Heaven, trees, rivers, nuhur, all these things. Why is the Quran doing it?
Right.
Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging us so much and telling us so much about heaven, about rewarding us?
Paying the reward in front of us.
Yeah, right. So he's doing that in such a way that he's trying to bring us forward to do the right thing and to avoid the wrong thing. So the right. reward system itself, it has that notion of doing two things at the same time, where punishment doesn't. So punishment, it just makes you refrain. It doesn't make you do the good thing.
Doesn't encourage you.
Yeah, so the best it could do, the system of punishment, is to stop you from doing it. While the system of reward actually automatically makes you go towards the good, which means you are already leaving the bad behind. To the extent that sometimes you work so hard to gain that reward. For example, right. with the mu'mineen, they pray extra, they fast extra, they do so many good things against their own will, against their own desire, against their own pleasure, just to get that reward.
To actually even seek closeness to Allah.
Not just that. No, they are even willing to give themselves up, like to go shaheed, to kill themselves, just for the reward of having for shahada. So you see how much that system has pushed us? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, sure, you can fight for your country, you can fight for your faith, and he leaves it at that.
Yeah, it's okay.
How many people think they're going to do that?
Right.
But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushed the reward system of shahada to such an extent that it became like a lofty position, like, exactly. I need to get there. Then it became a dream for most of us to reach that stage of shahada. It
became a goal if we can achieve that.
It became a goal. And to achieve such a goal, you have to leave everything bad and do everything good. So you see that system itself, it made such a huge impact on the life of a person. Even our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we just focus on the punishment side, we're going to think of Allah as just a bully. He just wants to barbecue and make a kebab out of you.
A punishing
father. And then we stay away from him. When you look at the reward side, like, oh, what a loving, merciful God we have. And then automatically and gently and kindly you move towards him, which is what
naturally,
he wants.
Right.
So you can see that the system of reward itself is extremely important.
To say it, we will unfortunately have to go on a quick break.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen. Allah my Lord, His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet, peace be upon him. I am a Muslim for all of time. Someday, somehow, my journey here will end. I know not when Allah will call me home. This life I live, oh, what a blessed thing. As death comes to me, these words I will sing.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the rules to follow when we want to reward our children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
Okay, so up to here we're trying to give more of an intro
right.
to reward system itself before we can get into the point. So it becomes clear in the minds of the parents how important that reward is. Because most parents, sadly, this reward does not work with them, or they haven't applied it, they haven't activated such a system. To many of the parents, when the child does something bad, we automatically punish them. Automatically. Almost automatically. Like, he does something bad and we just jump. When he does something good, we don't do nothing.
Right. It's so expected of him.
Yeah, so we just let it go. We don't encourage them. We don't give them nice words. We don't tell them excellent. Nothing.
So he does something, he cleans, he does something good, and we can see it. Sometimes, they don't have to come and tell you, like, I clean my room. You can see they're cleaning the room. Oh, yeah, it's obviously it's their job. But as a parent, you need to encourage that. You need to commend them for it. You need to say, well, well done, excellent. Give them something in return. So you don't have to make it your mission in life just to punish them and neglect the reward. The reward is extremely important, especially when it comes to ibadah.
Right.
If you see the child praying or reading Quran or doing something of his own, you have to encourage them so much to the extent they think that this is the only thing that there is in the world.
Which it is.
Yeah, which truth. Is exactly right. Which it is. And sometimes, like, even if they do it wrong, sometimes I see my son praying, and he's playing with his hand, and he's moving around, and this and that, and, like, I ask him to pray Jama'ah with me, and he's all over the place. He's doing everything. But by the time he finishes, I hug him, I kiss him, I'm like, oh, mashallah, good, good. So, and he feels good. Next time, he just comes by himself.
Know exactly, what I mean? Yeah.
And slowly, slowly, you start. But you need to give them that system of reward, right? The system of reward has to be there, not just a system of what? Of punishment, that I'm just quick to punish. Actually, we do it the other way around. Let us be quick to reward and reluctant to punish.
Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. Allah, I mean, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Well, even more, of course, but we try to imitate.
Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually, like you mentioned, Allah is the opposite. Like, he's like with punishment. He said, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to even touch you. But with reward, he's like, I'm going to give you a reward even in this life. Exactly. I'll make your life better. I'll make it easier, blah, 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 blah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you so much things for just doing the right thing.
Right.
You know? So we always have to keep the system of reward happening in the life of our children if we want their behavior, their ethics, their morals, and what have you to be better, to be good. Otherwise, like I said, if we just focus on the punishment itself, we won't be doing much.
This system, I think, embodies the spirit of Islam about it being fair and just. It also, without it, Islam or every concept collapses without having a punishment and a reward system, right?
It will. I mean, me and you, the only thing that makes us pray is the reward. I don't want to be punished and I want to be saved.
Exactly.
So, you know, as we say in theology, we have that what motivates me is that pushing harm away from oneself.
Exactly.
Right. So knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a monotheist, is the fact that what goes in your brain is that you want to avoid harm, which is hell, and you want to bring manfaat to yourself, which is heaven. So that system itself balances your life out. When you know there's a punishment for an action, there's a reward for action.
Naturally.
And you're having that balance, and you will constantly move towards the right path.
Right, right. We will unfortunately have to take a quick break, dear Sayyid.
Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the etiquette and also rules of reward. And we said that punishment, it only serves to prevent you from straying far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in essence, but it doesn't push you towards Him necessarily. Yeah. While reward is the one, maybe an engine, the motor, the power that pushes you towards Him.
Exactly. So if it pushes you towards Him, obviously leaving disobedience behind you.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, it's like one job that does two things at the same time.
Exactly. So win-win.
Yeah. Well, punishment, Allah says, well, if you do this, I will punish you. And he stops, and obviously, I'm like, okay, then I'm idle. I'm not moving forward.
Exactly.
Same thing with the child. The child is a human being that's just a smaller one.
A right? sensitive human being.
Yeah, just a small, tiny human being that's just starting now. So the same system, because it's already in him, we need, as parents, we need to activate that first and foremost. Now,
exactly.
When it comes to rewarding children, there are different types of rewards that
a lot of parents also do not activate, do not use. They might use one, neglect the rest. Now, I want to go through some of these reward systems that we need to keep in the mind of the parents. So the next time they want to reward their kids, at least they have to keep this list in their minds. All
right?
So we have two types of rewards. We have a positive reward and a negative reward.
Right? A negative reward sounds negative kind reward. Of counterintuitive.
Okay. All right. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. But let's let's talk about the positive rewards first, right? So when we look at positive rewards, for example, it's divided into subcategories.
Right.
We have financial reward. Right. For example, you give them money, you give them toys, you give them food, you give them a story, you can increase their, say it with me, you increase their wages.
Right. Give right? them more their wages, give them more lunch money.
Yeah. So you give them something that is what we call money, materialistic.
Materialistic reward, right?
Okay, if we can say more materialistic is more encompassing than just saying financial. So materialistic, something that they can feel, something they can touch. They need that. And most of the parents, they stuck with this one.
Right.
When it comes to the reward. Something material. Okay, he's been good. Okay, I'm going to buy you a bike. I'm going to buy you a PlayStation. I'm going to buy you this. I'm going to buy you that. I'm going to give you money. So I will buy you clothes. He's just stuck with the materialistic aspect of reward. I mean, there are other systems of reward that we need to keep in mind of.
Of course.
Which is, you know, falls under the branch of a positive reward. So that's one thing that we need to keep in mind. A second thing, if we have time, I can mention, is activities. Activities is also a type of reward.
Like you an outing,
yeah, outdoor you take them trip. Outside. You take them bike riding. You take them, you play with them. I don't know, you even watch TV with them. Something, an activity that involves you and them. That's also a type of reward. Okay, you've done your homework. How about we go out for an ice cream? How about we go for a walk to the park?
Right.
How about we watch a movie together?
So a social reward, maybe? Can be other reward of experience?
Look, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a social thing itself anyway because you're mingling with them. But it's in the form of an activity that you have to do.
Right.
So we have a materialistic reward and an activity reward.
Dear Said, I must unfortunately interrupt you because we will end today's program as our time is up. I thank the dear Said for his knowledge and I thank the dear listeners for tuning in. This has been your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and as usual, if our dear listeners have any questions, feedback, or other suggestions, they can contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, they can also find us on the various social media websites such as Facebook and Instagram under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here are some words of wisdom to reflect upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The powerful will be definitely humiliated if he ignores what is right.
Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The light.
Now, an underwater museum in Turkey is offering a unique opportunity to its visitors, diving back in time. The World War I era naval battle site turned into an underwater park on Turkey's Gallipoli Peninsula, and it has recently opened its doors to the public. The area is known as the graveyard of the navies and includes dozens of shipwrecks from battles dating back to the early 20th century.
One of the most exciting things about diving is shipwrecks, of course. They remind you of the past, and it's like a time machine that takes you back to 1915.
The British Royal Battleship HMS Majestic is one of the first ships that divers see as they start their underwater journey. The vessel sank during the First World War and rests more than 24 meters below the ocean's surface, but it still remains intact. Remains of 14 British, French, and Australian warships are over there. Museum officials say they want the site to become a new hub for divers who wish to explore historical events.
Russia has sent an actress and a director to space to make the world's first movie in orbit. The crew blasted off from Kazakhstan for the International Space Station along with a cosmonaut and successfully reached the orbit. They spent 4 months on preparation for the flight. After 12 days in space, they will return to Earth. The movie, named Challenge, is about a doctor who goes to the space station to treat an astronaut with a heart ailment. Russian officials say the project will help burnish the nation's space glory. Australian scientists have developed artificial structures that act as a much-needed habitat for marine life.
Extremely exciting because we have seen a total of more than 90 species colonizing these diverse panels, and we see 30 to 40% more species on the panels in the living seawalls than on the unmodified parts of the seawall, so the seawalls with no panels. So that's extremely exciting, and really gives us confidence to scale this up to other environments and other artificial structures.
The project has installed over 1,000 artificially designed panels onto seawalls in Sydney. These craggy concrete panels are 3D printed and designed to last for at least 20 years. Only a short time after installation, they turned into a cozy new home for the fish, crustaceans, and other marine life.
So we have more fish in Sydney Harbour than we have in the entire UK coast. So we have more than 500 species of fish in the harbour, so that's quite impressive. But what we notice is that urbanization and the human settling, especially towards the coast, has a lot of impacts on this amazing marine environment, and that's what we are trying to mitigate a bit with the living seawalls by attaching these panels that mimic natural features such as rocky shores and rock pools and crevices and nooks and crannies.
After becoming popular in Australia, the panels were also installed in Wales and Singapore. The scientists say since the installation of these panels, the quality of Sydney's harbour water has improved. They hope coastal structures built in the future would be ecologically sustainable, designed not only for humans, but for nature. The Greek Postal Service has come up with an innovative idea to speed up the mail sorting process, not by humans, but a fleet of robots. 55 tiny yellow robots powered by artificial intelligence are helping employees in Hellenic Post Sorting Center. They scan postal codes to identify the bundle's destination, weigh the parcels, and put them in related platforms. The program aims to handle increasing number of packages from online shopping, especially during the pandemic.
The end result is a threefold increase in sorting speed of parcels, ensuring next day delivery for our customers. These autonomous mobile robots are energy efficient, thus directly reducing the energy consumption of the sorting process, and that way allowing us to take a greener approach to operations.
According to the company, up to 80% of mail sorting has been passed to the four-wheeled robots. Each day, these little machines manage around 168,000 packages weighing up to 15 kilograms. Every 4 hours, they need recharging, which takes 5 minutes.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. Indonesian activists have come up with an idea to convince people to rethink their habits and say no to single-use bags and bottles. Environmentalists have created a museum made entirely from plastic waste in the town of Gresing in East Java. It took them 3 months to collect used plastic items, ranging from bottles and bags to sachets and straws. They were all assembled from polluted rivers and beaches. The centerpiece of this museum is a statue whose skirt is made from single-use sachets of household items. The museum has become a popular location for selfies and has received more than 400 visitors since it opened last month.
I will definitely change my life habits. For example, like when I go to the market or to a grocery store that provides a plastic bag, I will switch to a tote bag. And when I buy a drink, I will use a tumbler.
Environmentalists say their plan behind the exhibition was to send a message about the world's worsening ocean plastic crisis. The plastic problem is particularly acute in Indonesia, a nation that ranks second only behind China for its volume of plastics that end up in the seas.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
People around the world celebrate the changing seasons in different ways. In the U.S., an annual pumpkin contest is held to kick off the fall season. Each year, farmers and vegetable enthusiasts from across the U.S. gather in New England for the competition. Anyone bringing the largest homegrown pumpkin gets the prize. This year, a man from Abington, Connecticut, got the prize for his pumpkin weighing more than 2,000 pounds. Alex Noel explains how he worked hard to produce that giant pumpkin.
A nearly unlimited amount of work goes into producing a 2,000-pound-plus pumpkin. I put about 1,000 hours a season into 2 to 3 giant pumpkins, and you're lucky to even get that many by the end of the year. I'm out there watering, fertilizing, keeping excess water off if it's too rainy, which it was this year, spraying insecticides, spraying fungicides, pruning, training vines, propping up leaves at the end of the season, putting blankets on when it's cold out, heating cables, fans. I mean, the list goes on and on.
The New England Giant Pumpkin Way Off began at the Topsfield Fair in 1984. That year, the winner showcased a pumpkin weighing 196 kilograms. The Way Off has received worldwide recognition, too. Syria's ancient city of Aleppo seems getting a taste of normalcy amid reconstruction efforts and the war-ravaged city. A Syrian historian has also been contributing to make the city regain its lost glory. Ala al-Sayed is working to faithfully restore the lost sections of Aleppo's old city. For that, he is using documents and clippings he himself saved during the early years of the conflict. He says he came up with the idea to digitalize those documents in 2013. Then he embarked on organizing newspapers, books, and pamphlets while scanning each one to add to his digital library. Following the liberation of Aleppo, Ala came back to the city and started renovating historic places which are on the World Heritage List.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire, and so there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The ghosts, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat, defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew. They're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention, habitat management, and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote. Many exotic fruit plants need the tropical climate to grow, but Assyrian is producing nearly 100 types of tropical fruits at his backyard in a coastal city of Tartus. Mohammed Hassan's passion for agriculture is to the extent that he left his job in media to build a farm. He managed to create a tropical environment at his compound, and that was the reason behind his success in growing fruits that are rare in many parts of the world. In fact, he has turned his farm into what he likes to be described as a tropical cave.
I came across the world of tropical fruits as some of them existed here. Many immigrants also helped me on this path. They bought me special varieties from India, South America, the Caribbean and other countries, even China. Currently, we grow 93 types of fruits.
Hassan's success has encouraged other Tartus residents to create their own farms. The government is also assisting Hassan with his unique business. His farm is now open to tourists and visitors where they can taste the products. Hassan says he has bigger plans for the future and is thinking about using his tropical environment to raise and breed rainforest animals. In Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say the fossil suggests a dinosaur species known as Kurupi itata was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Kurupi itata's fossil was unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at Monte Alto's Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds two Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. See what date is today. Today, Monday, is the 4th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 11th of October 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear friend, I invite you to listen to chapter At-Tawbah, verse 71 in the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
The believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those, Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Contrast to the hypocrites, who are some niggardly persons, the believers pay a part of their wealth as the alms or zakat in the way of Allah and for supporting the servants of Allah, in order to improve their society, of course. The hypocrites are mischievous and disobedient, and they behave outside of the circle of the commandment of Allah. But believers obey the command of Allah and His Messenger. No doubt the promise of mercy to the believers at the end of the verse is from the side of Allah. This promise is conclusive and assured from any point of view.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Yeah, Allah, yeah, Allah.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are with IRIB English Radio, and this program today's special. This part is under the title of the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Muhammad al-Mustafa, the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "No foot of a servant of Allah will move on the resurrection day before being asked about four things: his years and how he spent them, his body and how he used it, his wealth and how he earned and spent it, and about his love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt." The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, teaches us through this glorious tradition hadith that is obligatory to make use of blessings and bounties that Almighty Allah granted us. It also explains to us that we are held accountable for the way we use our time, property, health, and strength, and we should use them properly in the life of this world. On the resurrection day, men will be questioned about the property that he owned in the life of this world and how he used it. Did he spend it on forbidden deeds such as drinking alcohol, gambling, frivolous entertainment, and etc.? Or did he spend it on himself and his family, participating in establishing useful and charitable projects and foundations to help the poor and needy?
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. according to a prophetic piece of hadith, the Archangel Gabriel related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be very, very kind to his wives, such that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that he thought that it wouldn't be fair to express the slightest sign of indignation against their wives. At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that a husband's act of sitting just beside his wife is better than finding a corner in a mosque in order to be engrossed only in prayers, in offering prayers. And then we find that the Holy Quran says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa qudhuha an-nasu wal-hijara. All those people who have faith, preserve yourselves and your community and your families from the hellfire. According to Quran exegetes in this regard, we find that it's the responsibility of men to support their own family members so that they wouldn't be misled. And at the same time, we find that so long as husbands are regarded responsible and in charge of giving financial support to the family, likewise, women and mothers are held responsible for giving the right psychological support to the rest of the family members.
Let's look at our responsibilities towards ourselves. Dear brothers and sisters, man is created in his mother's womb without knowledge, not free to choose his own shape and attributes. He is born without knowledge and, during first years of his life, is raised wholly unable to do anything. It is the Creator who decides. Man has no say in this matter. Whatever he possesses is from the favors of Allah. Had it be from his ability, the blind would choose to see, the deaf to hear, and so on. Man didn't create himself, nor was he able to do. So man is the property of Allah. Thus he should accept his self as it is, honor it, recognize it as a great and esteemed creature of Allah. Take care of it, give it its rights in full in every aspect, and make a vigorous effort to protect himself against the fire prepared for disbelievers in the hereafter. Allah has forbidden whatever is harmful to men. Killing or harming of oneself is strictly forbidden in Islam. Surely man will give account to the Creator regarding himself.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
today's special and social responsibility in Islam. Public opinion is the fearful power which holds the rulers and individuals in their right path, moves the nation to act justly, and causes it to tremble with anger if harmed or touched with corruption, as with the body of an individual if similarly affected. Public opinion is the sharpest weapon to be found for ridding the community of its social ills and for accomplishing what laws fail to accomplish. It is the watchful eyes that ensures the execution of laws and the observance of those ethical rules and righteous ordinances which the community enacts. Islam thus takes special care to make public opinion the guardian against the individual's deviations and the community's excesses, enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong.
Our Lord states in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum, naran wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara. Each and every person has a responsibility to protect himself or herself against damnation in this life and in the hereafter. Not just himself or herself, those that we are also responsible about them. Our family members, our parents, our children, our extended family members. When this verse came, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I cannot take care of myself, let alone my family. This is a very difficult task for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Hasbuka, hasbuka an ta'mal wa an, it's enough for you that you practice what is good, you avoid what is bad. They would learn from you. They look at you. You are a role model. As a father, you are not just a breadwinner. There is a misconception today that the father is a breadwinner. The father provides shelter, food, healthcare, education, transportation for his family. But that's enough. That's not enough. That's the first part. That's the easiest part. The father is a role model. The father is an educator. The mother is not only cooks at home good food for her family or nurtures the children, takes care of their food and changes their diapers. She has a bigger responsibility. The mother is the one that teaches them honesty, teaches them the truth, speaking the truth, teaches them piety and righteousness. A mother inculcates in her babies, since they are very young, inculcates in them the principles of compassion and love and forgiveness and sharing with others what they have. These are bigger responsibilities.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, Fi Amanillah.
Oh,
was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.